So we'll continue the same journey that we've been going through together, and here we stop at a different spot where Jude is writing an epistle to the believers that he felt they are at danger. Danger of losing sight of the faith once delivered to the saints. Not losing their faith, but losing sight of the faith once delivered to the saints. And what he means here is not the faith that we have as energy in our relationship with God, but the faith as the scripture teaching, the truth that we hold in our hand and say, this is what we believe in. This is our faith. And that he refers to as once delivered to the saints. And once here means once and for all. Something that can never be added to, or something that can never be removed from, or something that can never be replaced or improved upon. And we're losing sight of this. And the reason is, there is people who crept in at that time, crept in unawares. We didn't realize that they are in the midst of us. And they are started to teach certain things. And those things that they teach, the end result of them is people live a loose life, morality go down. And it turns out that anybody can claim a religion, whatever that religion is, including Christianity as a religion. But no one can ever give us an ability to live a holy life except the one true God. So when morality is going down, when the level is going down, when we start accepting things that we knew one day that they are unacceptable for a Christian, and we start to letting them in, creep in into our life, that's a dangerous sign. We're making light of the grace of God, and that's a path that can never take us to the right way. That's a path that starts with a small deviation, and then it grows into a completely different direction. We look sometimes at those false teachers that are described here, and we think that, oh, we will never accept anything like this. I want you just to look at this for a second and think of many of the churches around us that now accept as something essential to their beliefs, things that maybe themselves 10 or 20 years ago, never thought they would believe in something like this. And even amongst us, brothers and sisters, if we lose sight of that faith once delivered to the saints and start to accept ideas that are not too bad, not exactly what we should do or believe in, it's not according to the Word of God 100%, but it makes sense. It may work better for us today. It may help us be a more successful meeting. It may make us grow better. It may make us more acceptable to people around us. It may make us more popular. It may attract the youth. It may make people who are not used to coming to meetings come and feel more comfortable. The Lord Jesus never cared about being popular. Never. And actually, he never trusted when a large group came to follow him. He never trusted the multitudes with himself. That's what the Bible said. He knew what's in the man's heart. He knew that multitudes always mean something that appeals to a corrupt nature in man. It's not him. If you walk alone, most likely you're right. If you walk with a large gathering, reconsider. Reconsider. And I heard from Doc earlier today something that confirms the same thought we're discussing now, which is the closer the Lord Jesus made it to the cross, the fewer the number of the people were next to him. And we have been talking about the cross all day long. We talked about coming out of Egypt to follow him in the wilderness, to worship him. And the path was the cross. We had to die with him, rise again with him, to be able to worship him. And then in the Gospel of John, we learned that the only way for us to really be with the Lord Jesus was for him to die. And the purpose for him to die is to bring us closer to him in that kind of relationship. We spoke about worship in the morning. We spoke about eternal life in the second session, which is a closest place a creature can get to his creator. You partake in the nature of God himself. Now just let you know, angels cannot do that. You know this, right? Angels cannot have what you have. They would love to just get a glimpse of what we have. Even angels who we might think they are so close to God, they don't have what we have. Not only that, angels, by being angels in the presence of God, unless they are protected by the grace of God, they are not immune. What is it that I'm trying to say? Sometimes I spoke to youth struggling with sin. And I use that idea sometimes to try to help them get to the true place of peace in the relationship with God. And I ask, what is it that you want? You're struggling with sin. What is it that you want? You think if you have never knew sin and never committed sin, you would be in a better place? The right away answer, yes. I say, how about Adam? Who was born without sin, but that didn't protect him. So the fact that you committed sin before is not the barrier between you and living with the Lord Jesus the life that you want to live. How about being an angel in heaven? Is that going to make you feel better? You're going to have peace? Yes, I wish if I'm an angel in heaven, I don't have to worry about any of the stuff around me that I have to struggle with. Do you know that angels in heaven fail in sin? Do you know that even being an angel in heaven did not protect them or guarantee their future or guarantee their eternity? What does guarantee us, brothers and sisters? What is the only guarantee that we have? It's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other guarantee. It's not what you did or what you do. It's not who we are. It's not how we behave or act. It's his work, him and him alone. If you have your trust in him, if you put all your trust in what he did, if you find all your comfort on who he is and how he revealed himself to you, you are safe. But if you're going to try to find your comfort or rest in anything else, you're going to struggle.